Very beautiful medrash on this week's parsha. The medrash states, the pasuk says in Mishle, "Ki levayas chein heim l'roshecha." For an accompaniment of charm, they are around your head. Where Shlomo HaMelech says you should learn Torah, do mitzvos, embrace rebuke, for it's a way to be surrounded with an adornment, an ornament, a jewelry of charm. So the Medrash says something very beautiful here. Rabbanan Amri, the sages say, Nasa divrei Torah chein l'rishu yosecha. Words of Torah are a source of charm around a person's domain. Ketzad, Adam ben Torah, a person who's immersed in Torah, b'shah shehu mazkin, when he gets old, it's good. Other people, when they get old, they can't do the jobs that they used to do. A guy who was a bricklayer or a builder, he gets old, he doesn't have the strength to pound the nails into place. But a person who's filled with Torah, and he gets old, then there are even more people coming to him. They surround him. Sholin oso divrei Torah. They ask him questions of Torah. Because the older he is, the more steeped he is in Torah, the deeper his knowledge of Torah, the more correct his insights, and the more they want to know the answers. So, levayas chein heim l'roshecha. Torah is an adornment of glory around a person's head. It's not only there when he's young, when he gets old, it's a source of pride and glory. Davar acher, another explanation. Mahu kilavayas chein. What is the meaning that it is an adornment of charm? Amar Rabbi Pinchas Bar Chama, Rabbi Pinchas Bar Chama explained, B'chol makom shetelech, ha-mitzvos malavos oscha. Wherever you walk, mitzvos will escort you. With Torah, wherever you go, you can find mitzvos. Kesiv Nabayis Chadash, for example, in this week's Parsha, when you build a new house, V'asisa makala gagecha. Build a new house, there's a mitzvah. Make a fence around the roof to make sure that people who might fall don't fall off of your roof. Imasisa l'chadeles, if you make a door, you have another mitzvah. Uchsav tamo mezuzas beisecha. Put on a mezuzah. Put a scroll on the doorpost. Imlavashta kelim chadashim. You wear new clothing. Mitzvos malavos oscha. Mitzvos are there for the new clothing. It says in this week's parsha, "Voltil bashatnes." Don't wear garments that have a mixture of wool and linen in them. Imalachtu legaleach. You want to go for a haircut? You go to the barber. Again, you have a mitzvah. Mitzvos malavos oscha. Shneimar lo sakifu pasra sheichem. The mitzvah says, "Don't cut off your peyos. Don't give yourself a round haircut." Im hayelach hasada. If you had a field, v'halachta lachrosh besocha, and you wanted to go plow in your field, again mitzvos malavos oscha, the mitzvos accompany you. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtav. You cannot plow with a donkey and an ox saddled together to the yoke. V'im zarata, and if you planted your field, again mitzvos malavos oscha. You have lots of mitzvos. Lo tizra karmacha kilayim. Don't plant a vineyard with a mixture of grapes and wheat together. Im katzarta, and if you harvest your field, again, a mitzvos malavos oscha. The mitzvos will accompany you. As it says, ki siktzor kitzircha bisadcha, when you will harvest your harvest in your field, the shachachta omer basadeh, if you forgot a bundle, you have a mitzvah to leave it for the poor. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, afilu lo hayita osik bedavar, ela mahalich baderech. Even if you're not busy doing anything, you're not plowing, you're not planting, you're not harvesting, you're not building, you're not getting dressed, you're not getting a haircut, you also have a mitzvah. Ki kare kansi par lefanecha. If when you're walking and you happen to meet a nest, and you decide you'd like to take the birds, send away the mother bird, and then take the chicks. So this is the meaning that mitzvos are an adornment of charm. Wherever a person walks, he finds mitzvos to do. There are mitzvos in the field, there are mitzvos in the house, there are mitzvos in clothing, there are mitzvos in the barbershop. We are surrounded with an accompaniment of glory and splendor. What's the lesson of this medrash, and why is this medrash in this week's parsha? So the Sfas Emes explains something very, very beautiful. The medrash is teaching us that every item in the world has a mitzvah in it. There's a mitzvah in a field not to plant the cross breeding. There's a mitzvah in clothing, not to wear kilayin. There's a mitzvah wherever you go. When you're walking down the road and taking a walk in a forest, there's a mitzvah of shiloh haken. Everything has a mitzvah. Everything has a little piece of godliness. And a person has the ability, by fulfilling the mitzvah in that item, to lift that item and link it to Hashem. When we fulfill the mitzvah in the field, we sanctify the field. When we fulfill the mitzvah in the forest, we sanctify the forest. We all have the ability to lift everything up and connect it to Hashem. And that's an amazing idea that the parsha begins with. Ki seitzei lamilchama alayvecha. When you go out to war against your enemies, even war is an opportunity to find Hashem and to connect it to Hashem. In every scenario, we can find the Almighty and we can connect a matter to Hashem. We can find Hashem's presence in every situation. There's a thought here from Mordechai Silver. Mordechai Silver, all about this idea. In a very powerful, almost extremist point of view. Parsha, as we know, begins with a very, very strange mitzvah. The mitzvah of the captured bride. The Torah says, Ki seitzei lamilchama alayvecha, when you go to war against your enemy, unasano Hashem elokecha biyadecha, and God, your Lord, will give him into your hand, v'shavisa shivyo, and you'll take a captive, v'ra'isa b'shivyo eishes yifas tar, and if you see amongst the captured individuals a beautiful non-Jewish woman, and you desire her, you can marry her, v'lakachta l'cha l'isha, you can marry her as a wife. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, what a strange mitzvah that a Jew can go marry a non-Jewish woman in war. Lo dibra Torah ela keneged Yetzer Hara. The Torah permitted this only because of the Yetzer Hara. And Rashi explains that the Yetzer Hara is very, very challenging and very, very difficult. And if a soldiers out at war, it's a period of moral weakness. There's killing, there's blood, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And so it's only, you know, natural that in that, you know, difficult situation, a person might find himself tempted by a beautiful woman. As if the Torah would say, sorry, you're a Jew, you can't be with a non-Jewish woman. He might just do it anyway. So therefore Hashem says, you can do it under certain circumstances. Cry, let her cry for a month, and have her nails grow long, and cut off all of her hair, and then you can be with her. But the Torah is saying, if you do it, it's not going to work out. You're going to hate her. And so the next section of the Torah is about a man married to two women, one he loves and one he hates. And in the end, the child's not going to be such a tzaddik. That's why the next section of the Torah is about a ben sorer umorah, about a rebellious child. This is such a difficult, difficult concept. The Torah allows a Jewish soldier to go and defile himself with a non-Jewish woman. How could it be? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a very radical answer here. The Aruch Chaim says that when Adam HaRishon ate from the tree of knowledge, there were all sorts of souls that left Adam HaRishon's body and got captured by the Nachash, by the snake, by the forces of evil. The force of evil has all sorts of souls. And throughout the course of history, we desperately want those souls back because they're holy souls. And those are the great Gerim. Sometimes you have great converts. They come from very, very soiled places. Yet they're very elevated souls. Like Gemara says Rabbi Meir was a descendant of Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan was the general of Nebuchadnezzar who in the times of the First Temple killed maybe 1 million Jews to avenge the blood of Zechariah. And he had a descent, he became a ger, and eventually he had a Rabbi Meir. It's a great soul, Rabbi Meir, but he was in a very bad spot. He had been part of Nebuchadnezzar's armies that were destroying the Beis HaMikdash and murdering thousands of Jews. That's what the Aruch Chaim says. There's certain great, great souls that have been captured by the forces of evil. And it's a tremendous job to free them, to get them out. And when they do come out, they become very righteous gerim, righteous converts. This woman, the beautiful non-Jewish woman, is really a holy Jewish soul. A Jewish soul called Yefas Tohar, a beautiful, beautiful, glorious thing. And there's a very great soul, and it's found in the non-Jews. And the soldier is attracted to her, even though he's doing such a big mitzvah, fighting a holy war, because he has to elevate this soul. Now, it's a very interesting thing. You know, this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh basically makes it sound like the exact opposite of what we would have thought. We're thinking, you know, he's lowly, he can't control his Yetzirah, the Torah allows him to marry this woman. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is saying this is a valiant knight of the faith who is redeeming a captured soul from the forces of evil. But apparently the two things go together. When there is a great, great task of redeeming a very holy soul from the forces of evil, the Yetzirah has to be part of that redemption too. The Yetzirah is used to bring about the freeing of that soul. So why do we understand? What is this all about? Why is that so? Here Rabbi Silver explained a very powerful thought. Let's go through some of the mitzvos in this week's parsha. We'll see again and again mitzvos where Hashem uses evil. An example. At the end of the parsha, we have the mitzvah of Yibum. If a man dies without children, so his wife is supposed to marry his brother. What a shocking concept. Generally, once a man marries a woman, she's prohibited to all of his brothers. The very severe prohibition. The brothers are Eishes Ach. She's the wife of a brother. It's a chi of karis. If any of them would want to be with their sister-in-law, they deserve for the soul to be cut off. Suddenly when there's no children, Hashem says this act, which in every other context is an aveira, now becomes a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Yibum. So strange. In order to save what? To save the soul of the one who passed. He passed away without children. So to bring his soul back by having children,
Eish Esach is overwhelmed. It's an amazing thing. Take another example. In this week's parsha, Ben Sorer Umora, the rebellious child. The rebellious child is a 13-year-old who doesn't listen to his parents. He steals money from them. He uses it to buy, you know, raw meat and large quantities of fancy Italian wine. And he drinks meat and eats the meat and he gets drunk on the wine. And they bring him to the Beis Din. Beis Din warns him, he gets hit, keeps up with this behavior. So he gets stoned to death. So the Gemara asks, a guy who's eating too much meat and drinking too much wine deserves to be stoned to death. So the Gemara says, Higia Torah l'sof da'atol shel ben Sorer Umora. The Torah is correctly assessing where the rebellious child will end up. If at age 13 he's stealing from his father to eat meat and drink wine, by the time he's 18, he's not going to have a profession. He's going to become a gang member. He'll become a robber, a killer. The Torah said, let him die innocent before he die guilty. Again, amazing thing. It's not normal thinking. Normal thinking is not that you die based on what's going to be in the future. People get punished with their own sins. But it's an amazing thing. That sometimes Hashem uses a whole other approach, the forces of evil, as it were, in order to fix somebody. So what's going on? The explanation is like this. Sometimes people do things. But sometimes Hashem does things using people. And when Hashem is doing it, Hashem wants to show, it's me. So whatever you think, it's not what you think. What you think is evil, evil doesn't really count. Evil's nothing. I could do that too. It's all me. When it's my doing, I don't want you to think that evil is a force at all. Evil can't even resist me. Even evil is going to be harnessed by me to do what I want to do. Because it's my doing. Let's take the whole idea of war. War should never have been allowed. War is killing people. Think about David HaMelech. David HaMelech wants to build the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem tells him, you can't. Why? Dam l'rov shafachta. You spilled a lot of blood. Milchamos gdolos asisa. You made great wars. Lo sivne bayis lishmi. You can't build a home for my name. Kidamim rabim shafachta arza lefanai, because you have spilled a lot of blood before me. What do you mean? David's wars were all big mitzvahs. Defend the Jewish people, to conquer the land of Israel. And yet God says, Dam larov shafachta lo tivne bayis lishmi. You can't build my house because you spilled blood. Better is Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo, the word shalom, peace, he doesn't go to war. David went to war, but it's really a bad thing to be in war. War is something innately bad. To build the Beis HaMikdash, a warrior is not acceptable. So how do you understand war? It's that sometimes there are certain things that are bad. But certain people might do them as a mitzvah. Right? We have the story in the Navi of Sisera. Sisera was a Canaanite general who was harassing the Jewish people, and it was very, very difficult. So Devorah got a prophecy that they should get some people from the tribe of Naphtali, and they should fight Sisera. Sisera will run away. They went, they attacked Sisera. Sisera ran away, and when he's running, he runs into Yael. And Yael, who's a married woman, brings Sisera into her tent, and she has intercourse with him. He's exhausted. He falls asleep. She takes the peg of her tent, puts it right through his forehead, and kills Sisera. So the Gemara says in Masechet Erevin, Yael is a big tzaddikus. Big tzaddik. She's sleeping with the guy. He's sleeping with this general. It was an aveira lishma. It was an aveira,
but for God's sake. No one else is recommended to do it, but she did it with the purest of intentions. It was an Aveira for God's sake. That's what war is. War is an Aveira for God's sake. It's an Aveira to kill. It's an Aveira to want to harm the enemy. But for God's sake, it becomes permitted. But it is still something innately problematic. David HaMelech can't build a Beis HaMikdash because he was a warrior. Another example of how you see that war is innately problematic. In war, the Gemara says in Shabbos and Maseches Ksubos that the warriors of David HaMelech, before they would go out to war, they would give, each one would give his wife a get. That's why when David was with Bathsheba, who was married to Uriah, it really wasn't David being with a married woman, because Bathsheba was divorced, because Uriah had given her a get before he went out to war. Now, a get is not a good thing. According to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah to get married. If there's a mitzvah to get married, that means it's an Aveira to try to break marriage. A get is breaking of marriage. It's not a good thing to have a get. And yet, all the soldiers give gittin, because war, it's not such a great thing. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that if a person divorces his wife, his first wife, the Mizbeach cries. It's not a good thing. Beis Shammai say that a person's never allowed to get divorced unless the wife was disloyal to her husband. Get is not a good thing, and yet that's part and parcel of war. Because war is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. That's why when you go to war, we learned in last week's parsha, Ki sikrav el ir lilachem alev karas eleh l'shalom. When you attack a city, the Torah says, first offer them peace. Offer them a chance to surrender. Only when they don't surrender, then you go to war. War is not such a good thing. It's something very, very problematic, war. And yet, there's a mitzvah for war. Pshat is that when Hashem himself is involved in something, Hashem uses even bad things for his purposes. A war is Hashem protecting the Jewish people. When Hashem protects the Jewish people, even evil serves him to protect the Jewish people. The Pasuk says about war that Hashem is there. This week's parsha, the soldiers have to have a place outside of the camp where they go to the bathroom. They can't go to the bathroom in the camp of soldiers. Ki Hashem Elokecha mishalech bekerav machanecha. For God, your Lord, is walking in the midst of your camp. Hashem is in your midst. Hashem ish milchama, we say in the Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem is the man of war. Hashem himself is doing the war. Hashem is doing the war by using the Jewish people, but it's Hashem's doing. And since it's Hashem's doing, he uses evil itself to show that evil doesn't, you know, when it's him, there's no evil. Evil doesn't matter. Evil's a pawn in his hands. It's all him. You know, when I was learning this Torah, I was reminded that when the state of Israel first started, so our Jewish brethren in the land of Israel, they didn't have weapons, they didn't have an army. And if a person would even make a weapon or make ammunition, the British would kill them before the state. So what were the first planes that the Israelis got? The first planes were Messerschmitts. These were German Nazi planes that they got from Czechoslovakia. These are horrific, horrific, you know, tools. And yet when Hashem is making war, Hashem says even the evil doesn't count. It's all me. It's all my doing. There's a friend of my father who lives in a Jewish town in the Shomron in Samaria. So he's a real Wild West guy. And when he moved out there to this little town, now already there are 400 families, but at the time, like 20, 30 families when they started. So they told him, you need a gun. There's a lot of Arabs here, a lot of terrorists, you need a gun. So he said, I need to find a gun with a soul. So he went to Tel Aviv, and he went to a gun shop. He said, I need to find a gun with a soul. The guy said, guns don't have souls. Guns kill. You can't find a gun whistle. He said, no, I need a gun whistle. So a couple months later, he gets a call. I got just the gun for you. You have to come in. He goes to Tel Aviv. Listen to this story. This gun I got from a person here in Tel Aviv who had gotten this gun from his father. His father had been in a ghetto, and he had killed an SS man and stolen his gun and escaped into the forest. And he used this German gun to kill Germans, to kill Nazis during the war, to fight with the partisans. Then he moved to Israel. And now his son sold the gun to me. So it was a gun that still had the Nazi insignia. He tried to beat it out a little bit. But you could still tell that it was there. He said, this is a gun that protected Jews during the Holocaust. This is a gun whistle. That's the gun that he uses. It's an old gun, but it's a gun whistle. Because when Hashem, when there's a war, Hashem ish milchama, Hashem is waging the war. When Hashem wages the war, when Hashem is doing something himself, evil doesn't count. Evil doesn't count. Evil also serves him. So war itself is evil. It's true, it's evil. It's horrible to kill and to divorce and to maim. It's all horrible. It's horrible stuff. But Hashem is there. And when Hashem is there, he uses the horrible stuff too to accomplish his goal. Because he wants to show that when he's involved, it's all him. Nothing can stand against him. Nothing will not end up doing what he wants it to do. Everything will end up being used for his goals. When his goal and he's there, he's doing it all. The Sfasema says that when the Jewish people left Egypt, Hashem said, Hashem yilachem lachem, God will fight for you. V'atem tacharishun, and you will be quiet. What that meant was that throughout all time, the Jews are prepared for success in war because Hashem himself is going to fight for us, and he took us out of Egypt. Hashem fought against the Egyptians. Hashem fights against all of our enemies. And this is the root of Jewish war. The root of Jewish war is that Hashem is fighting against evil. And when Hashem is fighting evil, Hashem uses evil to fight evil. He uses their own forces against them to destroy them, to move forward. The Ari HaKadosh said that when Moshe Rabbeinu split the Yam Suf, he held his staff over the sea and the water split. The Ari said that was the same staff that had turned into a snake and now again it turned back into a stick. What's the idea? The Medrash says that when the Ayala needs to give birth, its womb is too narrow. So God sends a snake to bite the ayala. That expands the womb, and then the baby comes out. The Ari said that's what happened at the time of the splitting of the sea. It was a snake that came to bite us, the crisis, to open up a new birth to come out of the sea. The idea of the splitting of the sea, this terrible crisis of the enemy right behind us and the arrows coming and we're about to die, is that God is using the snake / staff. God is using evil to accomplish the goal of saving the Jewish people. It's to teach us that any time there is a war, it's Hashem using the snake to help the Jewish people. Hashem is using the power of murder. Hashem is using the powers of evil to accomplish the goals of holiness, to ultimately bring us to a better place. During a time of war, when Hashem himself is fighting, and there's a soul that's hidden in this beautiful woman, Hashem says, use the Yetzer Hara. And in using the Yetzer Hara, there will be a liberating of the spark. Because Hashem himself is literally there.
And so just like during a war, Hashem says, you know what, even though normally murder is wrong, but when I'm doing it, it's okay. I'm doing it to save the Jewish people. So too normally to marry a non-Jew is not right, but it becomes an aveira for God's sake. To use evil against evil, to use the Yetzer Hara to liberate the soul that's caught in the hands of the Yetzer Hara. To use everything for the sake of good. So the pasuk says, "Ki seitze la milchama aloivecha." When you go to war against your enemy, unesano Hashem elokecha biyadecha, and God, your Lord, is giving your enemy to you. Hashem Himself is here. Hashem Himself is waging the war. If Hashem is waging the war, it's not the normal halacha. Normal halacha is you stay away from the non-Jewish women and you stay away from murder. But it's Hashem's doing. When Hashem is doing, He uses that which is in other times wrong and evil, and He uses it all for the sake of good. He uses it all to protect the Jewish people, to elevate this holy soul, and bring the soul back to the Jewish people. And this is connected to the idea of tshuva and to the month of Elul. The Arizal explains that the month of Elul is the time of the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Hanosein Bayam Darech, that God created a path through the waters. The simple meaning of that pasuk is that God made a path through the waters of the Yamsuf, which, as we said, was using evil for good, using the snake, using the staff, the snake, to split the waters. But it's also connected to the pasuk Yorecha Ta'im Badarech. God guides the sinners along the path. The nature of tshuva is that God gets involved, like God wages war. God gets involved to make a Jew do tshuva. God helps us do tshuva. And part of the beauty of tshuva is that through the power of tshuva, a person realizes that the bad was actually serving the good. That the forces of evil, the snake, was furthering the cause of holiness. That the bad itself was serving the good. The month of Elul is the time for tshuva. Elul is the end of the year. And tshuva is the characteristic of the end of history. At the end of time, the end of all the years, Am Yisrael is going to do tshuva, and the whole world is going to do tshuva. There's going to be a massive, massive tshuva that will precede redemption. Torah says, Parshas Nitzavim, Vayak Yavo Alecha Kol Advarim Va'eleh, Parshas Va'eleh, all these things will happen to you. Va'ashevos El Vavecha, you'll take it to heart. V'shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, you will return all the way to God your Lord. V'shamata Bekolo, and you'll hear His voice. The ultimate tshuva is going to be the tshuva right before Mashiach comes. Our tshuva at the end of a year is because the end of a year is like the end of time. So in Elul, we start to feel the feelings of the end of time. And that inspires us to do tshuva. There's a tremendous help that Hashem helps us during the month of Elul to do tshuva. The whole idea that Hashem is going to help me do tshuva, it's against the rules. Normally the rules are that man has to make his choices. Everything's in the hands of heaven except for fear of heaven. But when it comes to tshuva, God gets involved. He's going to help us do tshuva. We know that when it comes to tshuva, David HaMelech says, Chatasi negdi tamid. When I do tshuva, my sin is always in front of me. And that's, in fact, a ruling in the halacha, that if we confess last year for a sin that we did, this year on Yom Kippur, we should again confess for that same sin. Chatasi negdi tamid. My sin is always in front of me. We're always supposed to keep fixing the fact that we did it and realize that it is a sin. Now why? Once we fixed it, we fixed it. Aren't we done? Hasn't the sin become a merit because we've had wholehearted tshuva? Shouldn't we be able to forget about it? But the pshat is like this. If a person remembers his sin, and by remembering the sin it depresses him, so then forget about the sin. But the real idea of a chatasi negdi samin, my sin is in front of me, is that that doesn't make me depressed. On the contrary, it inspires me. The whole idea of tshuva is to keep getting inspired by my failings. Rabbi Elimelech Lvozhensk writes, even someone who did tshuva out of love, whose misdeeds have become merits, it's still not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah through the sin. He always needs to give it life to keep elevating it. It needs a new life for it to continue to stay as a merit. So he has to constantly repent to keep giving it life. V'chatasi negdi samid. The truth is, when we understand the idea of tshuva, tshuva is not just that the person became a better person. It's that the act that was an act of sinfulness has to become an act of righteousness. We have to take that act and bring it to its roots, to elevate it to the godliness that's in it. It's an amazing godly miracle that an act of sin can be transformed into an act of good. And that's a gift from Hashem Himself. That's a gift from Him to turn the sin into a merit. Many times, the way it becomes a merit is that a person realizes that this is the way Hashem wanted it to be. Each one of us has a unique task. Hashem put us each into this world with our own mission. Maybe my mission was to have those failures, to repent from those failures, to learn lessons from those failures. That's my mission. It couldn't have been any other way. I can't forget those failures. I can't forget that which has inspired me, because that's all part of my mission. It's like a war. A person goes out to war, and he thinks he's fighting, but really it's Hashem fighting through him. When we do tshuva, it's really Hashem's doing, and Hashem is showing that He did that act, that it was all from His, it was all His actions. It's all from Him. It's all meant to be. That's the idea of Mashiach also. Mashiach is the most poor person in the world. He's completely surrendering to Hashem. He feels it's all Hashem doing it all through me. And that's the nature of a great Baal Tshuva. A great Baal Tshuva is someone who feels so broken that it's all Hashem's doing. For my actions, I'd be a big, big sinner. I have all these sins. But I'm surviving because of Hashem's enormous chesed. Because Hashem is working through me. And Hashem is giving me new life. I did an aveira. I don't deserve life. I need life from Hashem. And that enormous sense of dependence on Hashem, that power of tshuva, makes a person into a whole new person, where he needs Hashem to transform him. He's looking at this sin and saying, I'm so shattered by my sin. It's all now that I survive only from Hashem. That's what Chazal say, where the Baal Tshuva stands, even a tzaddik can't stand. Because a tzaddik, he's standing based on where he got to. A Baal Tshuva standing where Hashem took him to. I couldn't get anywhere. Tshuva is an amazing, amazing gift. A person does tshuva. But if Hashem hasn't forgiven, so then what did he accomplish with his tshuva? He still has the sin. Apparently the nature of tshuva is that through tshuva, a person arouses Hashem to forgive the sin. And that's something unbelievable. A person's doing tshuva and tshuva and tshuva until he feels in his heart that Hashem is whispering to him, Salachti, I've forgiven. The sin is wiped away. The forgiveness for the sin, the completion of tshuva, is all only from Hashem's hand. Hashem is the one who makes the tshuva work. It's all Hashem's doing. So just like in war, it's Hashem's doing, in tshuva, it's Hashem's doing. And when Hashem says, Salachti, I've forgiven, then somehow Hashem has taken the sin and he's made it into a merit. And a person always has to hear that whisper from Hashem, Salachti, I've forgiven. To feel that Hashem is completely the one in charge and completely running everything. Tshuva is connected to Mashiach. Before Mashiach will come, there will be great tshuva. Because before Mashiach will come, it's all about that Hashem is in charge and not us. And that's going to reveal also that all the mitzvahs are from Hashem. Hashem says, Salachti. And the Baal Tshuva is always dependent on the forgiveness from Hashem. When Hashem is involved himself, bad can become good. Because when Hashem is involved himself, Hashem wants to show us that it all comes from him. And that all the bad that there is just a mirage. It looks bad. But if it comes from him, really it's ultimately good. That's the theme of our parsha. The theme of our parsha is that everything comes from Hashem, and therefore in everything we can find Hashem. We can find Hashem when we're plowing in the field. We can find Hashem in the clothing that we wear. We can find Hashem in the haircut that we get. Even in war, we can find Hashem, and actually there we can find Hashem even more powerfully. War, it's all Hashem's doing. Then even the evil can become elevated for good. And that's connected to tshuva. There's a month of Elul. The month of Elul is Vachta Savia Ves Ima Yerach Yamin. She, the Jewish people, will cry for her mother, for Knesset Yisrael, for her father, for the Kudsha Brich Hu, for a month. She'll cry and daven to Hashem to forgive her for her sins. The month of Elul is the month of tshuva. It's the month of realizing that everything comes from Hashem. And since everything comes from Hashem, even the Aveira, if I do enough tshuva, I can hear Hashem saying, I wanted that Aveira. I wanted that for the mission that I have for you to do. And we have to keep reminding ourselves how dependent we are on Hashem, how we need His help, and hopefully we'll merit to do the tshuva that we're supposed to do, and to see even evil itself transformed into good. I always find it inspiring that I think about, you know, where the state of Israel is today. And Baruch Hashem is a Jewish state with a Jewish army and Jewish strength. And unfortunately there are great, you know, worries and fears because of enemies, and yet it's an amazing thing. So much of the state has been built from the misfortunes. From the tragedies of the death camps came the desire to move and to create a state, and the reparations and the German submarines, and so many things. From the misfortunes, from the bitterness, comes the sweetness. That when Hashem is bringing about redemption, it's His doing. He uses things that are beyond human understanding. We couldn't
understand it or predict it. To us, it doesn't make sense. How could it be that this is going to be the way it's going to work? It doesn't make sense to us. But that's exactly why it's this way, because it's all Hashem's doing. It's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our understanding that it's all His doing. He uses all these forces to push forward that ultimate goal of the idyllic redemption that hopefully is coming very, very soon. Thank you.